It is 641, and it is time for your KDNK local newscast for this Tuesday morning, October 18th. I'm Steve Cole. Protect the Flows is a coalition of businesses committed to sustainable water practices and healthy rivers. Last week, they hosted the 2016 Business of Water Gathering at Colorado Mountain College in Glenwood Springs. News director Gavin Dahl spoke to Protect the Flows co-director Craig Mackey.
We have 60 business people from across the Roaring Fork Valley here today, and water in the West is really managed at the local level. Yes, we have these big reservoirs, Lake Powell, Lake Mead, a big federal system that built all these dams and ditches around the West. But when it really gets down to the bottom line, water is managed by local water districts, community water districts, and irrigation districts across the West. And there's thousands of these organizations. They've been around for 100 years, many of them. And, you know, they're very important, but they're also somewhat insular. They have a board of directors to report to. They have customers to report to. They have clients to report to. They have a bottom line to meet. They're basically a small business. And they need to understand our message about water in the 21st century. Yes, we need water for farms and ranches and cities and industry, but we also need water for our rivers, for our quality of life economy, our tourism economy, our recreation economy.
For folks who aren't familiar with Protect the Flows, what's your mission and how do you guys work?
Sure. We're a coalition of about 1,100 businesses. We work with companies from the Fortune 500 down to river outfitters on sustainable water practices and healthy rivers. That idea that in the 21st century, we have a reason to have rivers for quality of life, for tourism, for recreation.
And what about the challenge of people who still try to push back against climate science? Because obviously on the business side of things, there's an economic appeal to dealing with this, which seems like kind of your focus. But I mean, I've even heard Water Conservation Authority board members say they don't believe in climate change. So when you look at people who are managing these systems, we still have a lot of people who are maybe missing the boat on the science.
Yeah, in the short term, we know it's getting warmer over in recent years. We've seen rainfall precipitation go down in recent years and river flows go down in recent years. But over the last 1,000 years, the Colorado River hydrograph has gone up and down in a fairly predictable band. We're below that band right now. And climate models show that in the future, we may actually get more precipitation in the Colorado River Basin. But key factors: that precipitation may come in the form of rain instead of snow. The system we have today is built to capture snow runoff. That's how our agricultural systems are set up. That's how our crops are set up. We have a system that's 100, 150 years old that's built on snow in the Rocky Mountain West. And that snow delivers water all the way to San Diego, California. So we have to pay attention to what's happening with the climate, what it means for precipitation, what it means for a warmer climate. Warmer temperatures means more evaporation and transpiration from plants and crops. So we have to look at all of those things. And, you know, we're at the point in the basin right now. We've been in a 16-year drought. We could see cutbacks in water delivery next year, next fall, a year from right now, to Arizona and Nevada from low flows in the Colorado River system. It's getting terribly real. So we just have to look at all of those factors.
Craig Mackey, Protect the Flows, thanks so much for speaking with KDNK.
You bet. Thank you very much.
Pitkin County voters have two choices for County Commissioner District 3, Independent Scott Ryder and Democrat Greg Poschman. KDNK's Gavin Dahl sat down with Scott and Greg yesterday.
Independent Scott Ryder and Democrat Greg Poschman both went to high school in Aspen, both graduated from CU Boulder. Both support voting to continue funding the Open Space and Trails program, and both oppose the transfer of public lands from federal agencies to state or private control. So I asked each of them to explain what voters need to know about the differences between them. Here's Scott Ryder.
I would say that the differences are, first, in terms of the environment, I think our intentions are both superb. I don't bemoan that at all of Greg. I think he's a great candidate on the environmental front. I think I'm better, though, and I think I'm better because I've had a lot of experience in the real hard world of putting together agreements, working with people, crafting complicated easements, working on water rights directly. And I also have a history of bringing people together and finding common cause. I think I'm pretty good at that. That's one of the reasons I'm an independent. I don't like to be on one side or the other. I like to be on everyone's side. I really believe that I'm pretty good at it. So I think demeanor and civility are perhaps one of the differences, and then experience and passion for it. I want to do it for the benefit of the community and for the benefit of the young adults. I want to keep the retirees here. I really believe that there's so many things that we could do to make this community more receiving for the people who are here. So, one of the things I love to say is I'm in this for our future old-timers, and future old-timers should be from here.
Here's Greg Poschman answering the same question.
My opponent and I, we grew up, we went to the same high school, we went to the same university. Scott, I think, has, you know, it's funny. I think his mindset has always been that we can build our way out of this. And I'm not going to call him out as a terrible developer. I think I've been accused of being a little bit too strident about that. But the fact is, the solutions I've heard from Scott have been, we have to build more, we can build this, we can connect this, you know, we can do more. It's kind of an anthropocentric approach to our life here. And I've got to say, I'm not quite ready to fully embrace the Anthropocene yet. I believe that our wildlands, our habitat, our open space, our wildlife should be represented somehow. And there are many, many people in our valleys who are not involved in development and speculation in real estate. So I want to represent them. And I have to say, seeking a balance between our community and our resort and the commodification of our land here is very important to me, and I recognize the value that has been put in through our real estate industry and development. We need some, but I'm going to say slow, measured growth and really thoughtful ideas. The biggest issue I have is that there is so much money coming in with developers and so much development pressure, as there has been since the 70s, that do we really want the representative of the person standing between our community and any new development to be a developer himself? And that's Scott's background. He has some skill in it, but he also has a lot of friends in that business. And I'm wondering, will he be able to separate himself when the time comes from this idea that we can grow ourselves out of whatever problem comes along?
Scott Ryder has worked in real estate, and Greg Poschman is a filmmaker. Asked why they are running for county commissioner, Ryder talked about ensuring young people can live in Aspen, while Poschman said he wants to carry on the work of the many leaders who have come before. Here's Scott Ryder.
I'm running because mostly I'm just really concerned with the opportunities for our younger generations to get into this world and make it work, particularly in the housing. I think we can do a much better job of not only just providing roofs for the younger generations to occupy, but also opportunity and a path to prosperity. I mean, I don't understand why we reserve profit just for the free market when it's really the locals that drive this place. One of the things I say, Gavin, is that the things that we love and that we're passionate about also happen to be our business here in this community, open space, trails, but locals. Locals set us apart as a resort. Locals create the activities and the events and the feel and the vibe that when visitors come to visit, they love it and they love us. So when we invest in locals and we invest in their future, I think we're investing in our economy.
And here's Greg Poschman.
The thing that struck me most is what people before us have done to preserve and protect our valley from development. And honestly, I think our place would be much, much different if it weren't for those people who've come before. So they inspire me. People like the three commissioners in the 70s, Kinsley, Shellman, Edwards, our mayor in Aspen, Stacy Stanley, and then the people who helped create the wilderness. We've got Dottie Fox and Connie Harvey and Joy Caudill, who created 450,000 acres of wilderness in our area, Maroon Bells Wilderness and other areas, and the Collegiates, I believe. And then finally, the people who started the Open Space and Trails program in our own valley, which has been incredible. Tom Cardamone being one of the ecologists and biologists who helped get that going, along with other people who helped start those programs, like ACES. Bob Lewis is somebody whose name I bring up. He was a family friend from long ago. Stuart Mace was a fierce advocate for wildlands and wildlife. And a lot of the reason our valleys are pristine and beautiful still is because of the work, the hard, hard work those people did. So I just want to follow in their footsteps.
That was Greg Poschman and Scott Ryder, candidates for Pitkin County Commissioner in District 3. For KDNK News, I'm Gavin Dahl.
This is KDNK from Carbondale. Scientists have put numbers to claims that bigger wildfires have become the new normal in western states. Eric Gladys reports.
Climate change due to human activity has doubled the area hit by forest fires in western states. States, according to a new Columbia University and University of Idaho study. Report co-author John Abatsoglu says since 1984, rising temperatures and drier conditions caused fires to spread to 16,000 square miles more than normal, an area the size of Massachusetts and Connecticut combined. He predicts even bigger fires could be in store for coming decades.
We're no longer waiting for climate change. It's already here. We expect more of these large fire years like we've seen as the signal from climate change continues to grow.
He explains warmer air creates ideal wildfire conditions by removing moisture from trees, plants, and soil. The research says average forest temperatures in some parts of the West have gone up by nearly 2.5 degrees Fahrenheit since 1970 and are expected to keep rising. Abatsoglu says the study is the first to put numbers to the claims made by fire chiefs and public officials about larger fires, including California Governor Jerry Brown, who has called intense wildfires the new normal. Abatsoglu adds the impacts go beyond the loss of trees and wildlife habitat.
The smoke impacts can be chronic. If you have a forest fire burning for a month, and if you're downstream of that, you can have degraded air quality, and that can have chronic health effects.
He says one strategy moving forward could be to stop fighting some fires during wetter years so dry fuel doesn't build up and lead to more catastrophic blazes in drier years. The study was published in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. This is Eric Galatis reporting for KDNK.